Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin, he sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, his blood availed for me. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
It's our desire, our goal, simply to magnify Him. Praise the name of the Lord. Shall we turn this morning to Romans 4? Fourth chapter of Romans, and we will begin with verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Then if you will skip down to verse 11. And he, that is Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. We would continue these messages on walking with God today. And our subject is walking by faith, as we find here in verse 12. The father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. This entire chapter is dedicated to the subject of being justified by faith. Paul uses two major examples from the Old Testament, two worthies of faith, to prove his point. One is David, as you'll find in verse 6. The other is Abraham, of whom we will speak today. And we would emphasize, as we see here in verse 12, of walking in the steps of that father Abraham. Paul makes it very clear that men are not justified by works, as we see in verse 2. If Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. And we know that that is absolutely the truth, because you see, God called Abraham out of idolatry, as Joshua tells us. And this is when God got hold of him. He had no works to offer up unto God. And faith is all that he had, as the Apostle Paul tells us. And then, as we find in verse 11, he was not justified by circumcision either. Here is a man who was righteous. He was pronounced righteous long before he was circumcised. Now, Paul addresses this because, as you know, the The Jews just insisted on circumcision. This is what set them apart from everyone else. That's why it's called the circumcision, referring to the Jewish nation, the uncircumcision, referring to all of the Gentiles. And so as we read in verse 11, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised. That simply means that Abraham was pronounced righteous by God long before he was circumcised. And we know that to be the truth. Abraham came out of Haran when he believed God at the age of 75. He was not circumcised until he was over 100 years old. And yet all of those other years in between, he was indeed justified. In our modern day vernacular, we would say that Abraham indeed was saved, or he was justified long before he was, as it were, baptized in water. I say that because water baptism answers to circumcision. Water baptism does not save a person any more than circumcision would save a person. Water baptism is just an outward sign of what has already gone on in the heart. Just exactly like circumcision, Abraham had received the Lord. He was justified 25 years and better before he was circumcised. And so justification is not through circumcision, as we find here. In verse 12, as we read, in the middle of that verse, but who also walk in the steps of that faith. And I want to emphasize the word steps, plural. We do not just take one step of faith, as some seem to think in our day. And we will find that Abraham took multiple steps of faith. Not all follow in all of those steps, but indeed we have the opportunity to do so. We are not going to consider all of the steps that Abraham took, but let us begin with the first one, just to give us an idea, a pattern of how that God can and will work in our lives if we believe him indeed, as did Abraham. We read in verse 3, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." That is quoted from Genesis 15. But the truth of it, as we're going to see here in just a little bit, begins in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. We find in Hebrews 11:8, you do not need to turn there, but it says this, "By faith Abraham, when he was called." We will see that in Genesis 12 here presently. "By Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went." Let us go back to the 12th chapter of Genesis, where Paul refers to this particular incident, because this is where Abraham's faith actually began. This is his first step of faith, but what I want to point out to us today is that regardless of the step of faith that we take, the same thing is always true. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. We must understand it is the faith. It is the believing God that is counted for righteousness. It is not the answer to our prayer of faith. I point to that very thing, because in Genesis 15, it says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. It is referring to the fact that he believed what God said about the Abrahamic covenant. He believed that God was going to give him a son, but that son was not born until 25 years later. His faith was counted for righteousness at that moment. That's why I encourage us today to realize that if you have prayed, if you have believed God, and yet you've seen nothing, be assured that righteousness has already been accounted to your account. It is the faith and not the answer or the evidence, so to speak, that counts with God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy mother's house unto a land that I will show thee. You will notice the Lord had said. And as I pondered that, we know it is past tense. But how long was it after God had spoken to Abraham that he moved, as we find in verse 4, Abram departed? How long between verses 1 and 2? We find here in these verses 2 and 3, he gave him the Abrahamic covenant at that time. This is reiterated a number of times in subsequent chapters, but here is where God initially announced the Abrahamic covenant. And as we find from Hebrews 11, Abraham believed it while he was yet in Haran. He believed it. He took hold of that. And then as we see here in verse 4, he departed. Was it a number of days after God spoke to him? When it says he had said it unto him, was it a number of months? We're simply not told. The point is this. There came the time when Abram acted on what he believed. His action of departing from Haran was absolute proof that he believed what God had said. And this same thing happens in our lives. It is our actions that really put forth and express and manifest and reveal the fact that we have believed God. And so it was counted unto him for righteousness. I want to again notice the path that Abram took. We're not going to again cover the entire journey. It's just a little summary. It gives us an illustration of what it means to walk in the steps of our father Abraham. And the first again is to realize that we must take more than one step. There are many who have taken the first step, and that is to leave Haran or to leave the land of idolatry. But if you will notice here that Abram took another step beyond that. Verse 5. Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's sons and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. This is what marks the difference in many Christians today. They glory in the fact that they come out from under the bondage of sin and unrighteousness and idolatry, come out of Haran, but they really do not begin to step into the land of Canaan. And our land of Canaan is in the heavenlies, where we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. It is a definite step of faith to step into that land. And it's not over yet. Verse 6, Abram passed through the land. He didn't just go into the border. He didn't just get his feet wet. He didn't just decide, well, I'll take this spiritual blessing and that. He began to walk in the fullness of that land. And this is what God intends and expects for us. So he passed through the land. And this is what we will encounter when we begin to walk in the same step that Abram took. He came to the place of Shechem. The word means shoulder, and it signifies the strength of Christ. This is one of the first things we begin to learn when we actually step out by faith. We begin to claim the shoulder or the strength of the Lord Jesus. We full well realize that we cannot depend on our own selves. We cannot depend on our own volition, on all of our own ingenuity and knowledge, and our own will. We must learn to lean on the shoulder of Christ. It was in the plain of Moreh. The word means teacher or instruction. And this is a part of taking this step. We realize that we must come and sit at the feet of Jesus and learn of Him. Some are not willing to do that. They have too many things to do. There are too many people going to hell. I don't have time to waste time in doing all of these things. We must be instructed in His ways. Then we learn something else very quickly. As we read, the Canaanite was then in the land. Make no mistake. I will guarantee it on the authority of God's word. You begin to take your place in the heavenlies and you will come into more trouble than you've ever seen before. The Canaanite, the enemy, is still in the land. But again, this is the time we must learn, and I guarantee you will be put to the test. We'll see here in just a moment. We must learn to continue to step before God and believe God even for the enemies and the difficulties of that time. Verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram. This again is a glorious result of taking a step of faith. You do that. We see it over and over. The same pattern in Abram's life. We'll not get to all of these, but we see it again. Take a step of faith, and the Lord will appear unto you, assuring you, encouraging you, wrapping His arms around you. Those circumstances don't change. You know God is there. And so the Lord appeared unto him and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar. This is where we began to really learn. This is the first one I think he built. We began to learn to worship the Lord. But we must step out by faith and do exactly that. And then faith progresses. Verse 8. He removed from thence. This is a part of taking steps of faith. We don't get to one place in our experience and think, I have arrived. That was wonderful. Those three that we saw are wonderful. But there are many more experiences to be had with the Lord. And so he came unto a mountain on the east of Bethel. Bethel means house of God. And it tells us of all of that fellowship, the communion, the interaction, the dedication, the being in the very presence of the Lord in the house of God. But then there was also Ai on the east. Ai means ruin. It tells us of the ruin and the destruction and the corruption and the degradation of the flesh. I will guarantee you we have to understand both of them. Here's where God introduces us firsthand, experimentally, to the two creations. You will find that truth in Romans 7. And we must indeed learn to take, to occupy, to claim the place of Bethel and realize that all flesh is absolutely as nothing and must be done away with. And you will notice he built an altar unto the Lord. This tells us what the scripture has affirmed all along. The more truth that we know, the more truth we lay hold of, the more truth that is worked in my life, the more I worship the Lord. We can only worship God to the level, to the degree that we have appropriated truth. And so I say today that much of the worship going on in Christendom today is extremely shallow because truth is lacking. Let us understand truth. And that is what is going to really build us up in true worship of the Lord. Well, surely we've arrived now, haven't we? Afraid not. Verse 10. And there was a famine in the land. I'll guarantee you there will be a famine in your life. You begin to lay hold all of these things. You might think nothing can ever go wrong again. But that is absolutely not the truth. There was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt. I tell you at the outset, this is not a step of faith. This is a misstep. We will not read all of this and go into it, but here's what happened when he went down to Egypt. He went down because of the famine, and people always have their reason for going back to the world, but that's not God's way. He began to think like the world. And so he told Sarah, "Now, woman, you are as beautiful as anybody I've ever seen in my life. I want you to tell these people you're my sister. Because if they think you're my wife, then they're going to kill me so they can have you." That's a delightful husband. A delightful protector. He was protecting himself at her expense. That's not a step of faith. He was looking out for Abram, his own self-protection. They followed through with that, and there was a reprimand. But this is the point that we need to understand in our lives today. I know there are people that think, because I have made an error, it is over. If you will search down through Abram's life, you'll find that he made an error even worse than this along the same line. And yet it still wasn't over. This is the path of divine grace. This is the path of faith. Chapter 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt. We can come back. Not only can, but we must believe God and come back out of this difficulty. We must commit to the way of faith that we began in the first place. And so he went up out of the land of Egypt. He and his wife and all that he had and Lot with him. He was rich. Verse 4, notice where he came. He came back to the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. This is another fact of our walking with God. another fact of these steps of faith. If we don't learn the lesson the first time around, do you know that God will bring us right back to the same place until we do? That's the grace of God. That's the majesty of God. And Abram again began to worship the Lord. Mark also this fact. Do you know that Abram never did build an altar in Egypt? Same thing is true in our lives. Follow the ways and the reasonings of the world, and we will never build an altar of worship unto God. We must be up in the land of Canaan, walking by faith, taking hold of the blessings of the Lord, believing God, and then we will indeed worship the Lord. We are not going to go through all of these other steps that Abram took. This is just a little summary of the pattern that continues throughout his journeys. But what I want to say is this. There came a day when, according to James, Abram's faith was made perfect. That was when he, as James tells us there in James 2, he offered Isaac on the altar. And thus, he says, was his faith made perfect. God says in Hebrews that he counts it as though Abram actually sacrificed his son and then he was raised from the grave. He got credit for that kind of faith. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. But this is the point I want to make. Does anyone really believe that Abraham could have offered his son up on the altar the day he walked out of Haran? No, he couldn't. And you and I cannot expect our faith to be perfect the day we accept Christ. There are steps in between, just like Abram did. First, he had to believe God to even give him a son through a barren wife after he too had already come past the days of having fruit. Believing God is the key to our lives today also. And so Abram finally did, after all of the pitfalls, after all the missteps, this man came to the place where, as James says, his faith was made perfect. I want to close with 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And I want to see once again here that you and I are still a work in progress insofar as our faith is concerned. We often read these verses, sometimes preach messages around them at funerals. And the reason is because they bring such great and wonderful comfort to us at such a time as that. Let us begin with verse 6. Therefore we are always confident, knowing. Those are just two more words that express we have faith. And that faith is in God. And so Paul says, we're always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. He means as long as we are present in this life, as we are this morning sitting in this congregation, we are physically absent from the Lord. And so while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Then he adds this glorious verse. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's when the Spirit departs this body and is transported into glory with Jesus. Verse 9, wherefore, because of these facts. And I submit that they are facts. These things are not wishful thinking. This is not a myth. This is not a fantasy. This is absolute fact. Wherefore, because of these facts, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. And this is what I want to impress us with today. In verse 7, we walk by faith. Scripture tells us that there will come a time when we'll no longer need faith. When we get to heaven, there will be no more room for faith. It will have given way to reality, so there's nothing to believe going forward. We walk by faith now. We labor, whether present. And He means present in the body right now. But what are we laboring for? That we may be accepted of Him. There are many who might try to twist this verse a little bit and enlarge and think that that word accepted actually means received. I am working myself just as hard as I can. So when I get to the end, I'll be received of the Lord. That's not what this verse says. The word accepted is exactly the same word that is used in Hebrews 11:6, which says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. The word accepted means well pleasing. This is what we are laboring for today. Well, Hebrews 11:6 tells us there's only one way to please God. Without faith, it's impossible. That means that if we do have faith, this is what is going to make us accepted of God. And so as He says in verse 7, we walk by faith. That means right now. Every day of our lives must be spent in taking steps of faith in order that we might be accepted or well-pleasing unto the Lord. Sometimes, I believe many times, if we take time to do it, we can really measure it. If something that we are getting ready to do, we can say this way, am I taking a step of faith? Is this what God is directing me to do? Has God spoken to my heart? And then we must step out and believe God, just like Abram did. And yes, there will be pitfalls along the way. I can promise you, as I already told you, there was another and even worse, in my opinion, later on. But Abram still believed God, and he still reached that place where that James tells us his faith was made perfect. And so when Paul tells us that we must follow in the steps of faith of our father Abraham, let's make up our minds to take all of those steps and not just part of them.